So this is for Todd's benefit, because he knows, because I've had conversations with him, how much time I spend early, before getting here Sunday mornings and preparing the messages that I give. And I tell him it's usually 15, 20 minutes. And I told him this morning that it didn't work out quite that way this time, because I was about 4.5 pages into the message that I was originally preparing for this morning, when it occurred to me that what I had been writing down so far was not as it needs to be. It was not inspired by the Holy Spirit. So I stopped and walked away, went downstairs. I think I may have had a cup of coffee or two. I think I may have taken Frida out, came back in, thought about it some more, went back upstairs. Say, let's try this again. Because it seemed to me that what I was writing, I got caught up in the spirit of the holiday, so to speak. So I was writing about what I thought that any congregation would be expecting to hear on a Sunday before Christmas. You know, a typical message about the Old Testament, prophecies foretelling the coming of a Messiah, about Zacharias being visited by an angel, who's Gabriel, informing him that his prayers of having a son were about to be answered, and that the son born to him and his wife Elizabeth, while they were both very old, would be named John. And oh, by the way, this John, their son, would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from Elizabeth's womb. And then he would grow up, and here it is, he would grow up to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, you'll find this all in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 1, in verses 13 through 17. It's all there. Now, if you ask Joyce, she'll tell you that I'm not, but that's a different issue. Now, Luke was a very meticulous historian. There have been times when archaeologists who have not been believers, who have set out to debunk what Luke wrote and went out and endeavored to do that, came away with just the opposite. They found that he was an excellent historian, and that everything that he wrote was in fact verified by history. So that was part of what my original message was going to be about this morning. But I also intended to include Luke's gospel also in chapter 1 with what we know as the Annunciation, which is spoken of in verses 26 through 38. And I know you know what it is, but just to refresh your memories, the events go something like this. The same angel, Gabriel, who visited Zacharias 6 months earlier, he then appears to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, Gabriel gives this remarkable announcement to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. And Gabriel tells Mary, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Now, I'm pretty sure that Mary was not prepared for this news. And now, these are events which Luke wrote which clearly describes that which occurred in the months prior to the birth of Jesus. And since today, we find ourselves only 4 days away from the day in which we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, it seemed fitting that this could have been an appropriate message for any congregation. But we're not just any congregation, are we? So, we're not just expecting to hear a predictable pre-Christmas message. Of course we're not. So instead this morning, I thought I would pose to you these questions. What are your preparations? What have your preparations been these past few weeks and now in the final days before this Christmas? What has your focus been upon? What are your Christmas priorities? Are they on earthly things like decorating the house and the yard, buying gifts, trimming the tree, making sure that all the strings of lights are working, or wondering how badly out of control the grandkids might be this Christmas if they come to visit, provided you allow them to come in the first place after last year, right? Or have your Christmas preparations been focused on heavenly things? Now, last week, if you remember, Pastor Harris made a point, and actually he made several points, but one in particular. He said Jesus is the reason for the season. And of course, we've all heard that before. And I know we all agree. But indeed, Christmas is all about Jesus. And what we should be keenly focused upon, not just now, but throughout the whole year, is the mission that Gabriel told Zacharias, his son John, was assigned by God. And that was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what God sent John the Baptist to do. Now, a hard question for us this morning is this. Are we a people prepared for the Lord? Are we just as unprepared for the Lord's arrival as was Mary when Gabriel told her that she was going to be his mother? Not only that, in addition to preparing ourselves, are we also involved in helping our brothers and sisters to prepare themselves for the coming of the Lord? Having the knowledge that many are unfortunately unbelievers and procrastinators. As a people, how are we preparing for the Lord? How are we making ourselves ready? It's a question that demands some brutally honest personal reflection. And about 400 years before Jesus' birth, God spoke to who would be his last prophet in the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi. And in chapter 3, verse 1, God told Malachi, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple." So the prophet Malachi knew all about the coming of this messenger way before Zacharias. The only thing is, he didn't know the who or the when. So Malachi is writing about what God told him about sending a message or sending a messenger to prepare the way before me, Now, we know, of course, from our Bible reading, that this messenger turned out to be John the Baptist. But notice who God says this messenger would prepare a way for. He said, before me. Okay? That's important. You can't miss that point. So who is God referring to? He's referring to himself. So right here in that scripture is confirmation that the man Jesus is in fact God in the flesh. And this scripture provides proof that God the Father and God the Son are one and the same. Now, I point this out for the benefit of anyone who may be still unsure about this topic, viewing this online. Certainly not for those sitting here this morning, I hope. I hope we're all clear on that point and have been for quite some time. So let's just think about this whole issue for a moment. It requires a moment to wrap our heads around it. Here's John the Baptist, the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth, who was sent by God, the Creator, who spoke heaven and earth into existence. He just spoke it into existence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He just spoke everything into existence. And here he is, sending John the Baptist to prepare people on earth for his very own arrival, who will come in the flesh and blood of a man born to a virgin, born without sin because God is without sin. And then he would be named Jesus. Wow, that's a lot to take in, isn't it? But we have to. And then there's this. About 700 years before the birth of Jesus, in chapter 7, and verse 14 in the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah wrote this. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which we all know means God with us. Now, the ultimate purpose of God coming to earth in the flesh is the subject and focus of Holy Week, which hopefully will be here before we know it, getting past these next 2 months. And although we are well served to give thought to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus every day, for right now, let's just try to wrap our minds around how we are going to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Not just his birth in 4 days, but when he comes again, not as a meek and lowly infant, but this time as our mighty King. Just as the Old Testament prophets Isaiah and Malachi, just as they were spot on concerning the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus of Nazareth, who, by the way, even non-biblical ancient historical documents confirm that they were both actual people. The prophecies of other Old Testament prophets are yet to be unfulfilled. There's things that are going to happen. Particularly, the prophecies of Daniel from the Old Testament and those of the Apostle John, who's also known or referred to as John the Revelator, contained in the New Testament, their prophecies could occur at any time. What they prophesied could take place before we go to bed tonight. It could happen tomorrow. We don't know. Now, some may say, well, people have been saying this for years. Why put any stock in any of this? Well, I'll give you just one reason. There are many, but I'll give you one reason. In the book of Daniel, for example, in one single chapter, which is in chapter 11, there is over 100 specific historical prophecies that have already been fulfilled. Now, if you've got the time between, you know, you can verify them for yourselves, but these things that were prophesied in the book of Daniel have already been fulfilled. And there's this thing that's in the stock market and in marketing, and it's a term called trend extension, okay? Simply stated, it refers to events of the past being indicators of future events. So we see there's definitely a trend of fulfilled prophecies in the past. There's plenty of them. So there's no reason to think that yet to be fulfilled prophecies will not also occur. So this brings me back to my original question. Are we prepared for the Lord when he comes? Because the most significant yet to be fulfilled prophecy is that Jesus Christ will come again. And for this, we must make sure that we're prepared. It's not like making sure that we have extra batteries for our flashlights in case the power goes out. Or it's not like stocking up a few extra cans of soup in the cabinet just in case we can't make it to the market because of a snowstorm. It's a lot more important than that. This is a much different kind of preparation. How we make that preparation will have eternal consequences. If we make the wrong preparations, or worse, none at all. So at this point, some of you may be thinking, well, this isn't what I thought I'd be hearing this morning for a pre-Christmas message. I wanted to hear about angels and the little town of Bethlehem and shepherds and wise men who, by the way, again, if you remember last week, Pastor Harris cleared up some misconceptions last week about the wise men, pointing out just how easy unbiblical narratives are believed and become tradition. And this plays a huge role in making those preparations for our Lord. You want to make sure that these preparations that you make are based on solid biblical doctrine, not on folklore, not on rituals. Believing in folklore and adhering to religious rituals, that was a big problem amongst God's people in the centuries before the birth of Christ. In fact, it was during what is known as the intertestamental period, which was a 400-year period of time in between the writings of Malachi, who I just mentioned, the last book of the Old Testament, and the beginning of the New Testament. There's a 400-year gap in there. And there were things going on, for sure. None of it was according to the will of God. And that's what led to John the Baptist, and ultimately that's what led God to decide to come to earth in the form of flesh and blood to get us straightened out. Because what was going on during those 400 years of silence from God, because there was no prophets, there was nothing to write about, the period of time between the end of the Old Testament, culminating with the book of Malachi, as I mentioned in the beginning in the New Testament, during that period of time, the two ruling sects of the people of Israel came into existence. These were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And over time, they invented, and maintained elaborate religious rituals and became spiritually corrupt, rife with hypocrisy. And how do we know this? These were the same Jewish high priest that Jesus called out for their vain interpretation of the law. And guess what? These high priests were not like some leaders in Christian denominations of our current age, having more esteem for their own invented doctrines than the true word of God. They lead people astray. They are the ravenous wolves that Jesus warned us about. They rationalize and they accommodate sin while assuring their sheep, it's okay. It's really their feelings and intentions that actually count for anything. Now, I know that you've heard this before also, but it's quite true, and that is that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So those making their preparations for the Lord by filling their pantries with anything other than God's own word, nothing more, nothing less, would be no better off than having empty shelves. So this is the great significance of the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. Brothers and sisters, we're in the midst of an ever-increasing deadly spiritual war. The world has been turned upside down and inside out. We see it every time we turn on the TV and watch the news or turn on the radio. I couldn't have imagined just 10 years ago that things would be as they are today. But they are. Watching the evening news has become a terrifying experience. The works of the prince of the world is front and center and on full display. Should be obvious to us all. And just when we think things could not get any worse, somehow they do. Evil has permeated many churches, watering down God's word, justifying sinful abominations. But for those who have made the right preparations for the Lord, not swayed by false doctrines, who humble themselves before God and confess and repent from their sins, these are truly prepared for the Lord. These need not fear the unraveling of the world around them. And so I repeat this question to you this morning. What are your preparations in the weeks and now final days before Christmas? Again, are they heavenly preparations? You know, God brought each of us into his creation to serve his purpose. When we come to that understanding, regardless of what our background has been, you stop and consider that and see where you are right now, you realize that the whole time God had a purpose for you. His purpose for our life on this earth has been for us to make preparation for that which God intended for everyone, a life with Him in heaven, an eternal life without sin, without death, without pain, without sickness, without hate. What a life. But none of us can get there on our own. There's nothing that we can do to earn that admission. You see, it took a Savior. It required the birth of one born without sin. It required a sacrifice of a man because the blood of animals could never atone for man's sin. It took Jesus and Him crucified to wash away the sin of all mankind once and for all. It took the birth of one, the one that we look forward to celebrating His arrival just 4 days from now. And all we have to do is accept this child Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But we need to ask, are we prepared for the Lord? Now I'm going to continue this message by reading from the book of Revelation. In chapter 22, starting in verse 16 through the end. If you'd like, you can follow along with me. And then, over the next 4 days, until we meet again here on Christmas Eve, I urge each of you to review the preparations that you've made for the Lord. Revelation. So it turns out this is the very end of our Bible. Chapter 22, verse 16, through the end. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. I let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Heavenly Father, we patiently await the celebration, the observance of your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. May we remember the true reason for our celebrating this event, that it's not about the giving of gifts, that it's not about all the lights. It's about receiving the one who you sent, who would take upon himself our sins. What great gift. No other gift could be as great as Jesus. Lord, as these next 4 days come about and we leave here and we continue on our ways of making the preparations for our celebrations and our festivities, let us be mindful that it is Jesus. It is Jesus. It is Jesus who we wait for. For without him, we are lost. But because of Jesus, we have hope. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.